Well, on this December 1st, 2019 AD, can you believe it? The last month of the year. We're going to ask Deacon Sullivan to open us with an Advent prayer.
Lord God, we thank you for the blessings that we all received on Thanksgiving and for the time that we got to spend with loved ones, Father. We give thanks to you most of all, though. We thank you and praise you for your love, and as this weather changes and the storm comes, Father, we ask for your help in dealing with the cold and the snow. And we thank you again in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing some Merry Christmas songs here. Thinking about the storm we're supposed to be having starting tonight through Tuesday. We could say it came upon a midnight clear, but I don't think midnight tonight's going to be very clear. We'll start with Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, all men raising, worshipping God on high. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, is bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrow, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone-cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings to you wherever you are. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing Alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn redeeming grace, Jesus Lord at thy birth, Jesus Lord at thy birth, Jesus Lord at thy birth. Oh yeah. A friend sent something on Facebook recently of a picture of a creche or a manger in which it was entitled King Size Bed. And I thought that was really great, because that's truth. And make, in this Advent season, make an atheist very happy by putting a manger scene out in front of your house or something like that. That'll really make them happy. Well, interesting, with all the stuff going on with impeachment stories and all these kind of things. New links found between Trilateral Commission members and Representative Adam Schiff's impeachment inquiry. The Atlantic Council has been connected to the impeachment inquiry through a common contact with Burisma Holdings and the supposed whistleblower, Eric Giamarella. The Council's board is riddled with members of the Trilateral Commission. The Atlantic Council has been closely linked to the Trilateral Commission since its founding in 1973 by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski. There have always been a preponderance of commission members on the Council's board of directors. Some prominent and recognizable names include Michael Chertoff, Paula Dobrianski, Wolfgang Ischinger, Henry Kissinger, Joseph Nye, Rajiv Shah, president of the Rockefeller Foundation, and Wendy Sherman, among others. The Trilateral Commission is the focus of the deep state and has always managed to fly under the radar of scrutiny. Wherever and whenever commission members pop up, you can be sure you are close to the center of globalization. Another technocracy news report. Scientists: artificial wombs could replace women. AI reads mind, creates video of your thoughts. Whew, that's pretty scary. That's very scary. But it probably explains a lot of things that are going on in our country that most people aren't perhaps paying attention to. Well, this week in my quips and quotes, in 1654, French mathematician Blaise Pascal, at 31 years old, underwent a profound religious conversion. He thereon abandoned his study of science, having realized that the Christian religion obliges us to live only for God and to have no other aim than Him. So, obviously, he became born again at 31. English revivalist in 1742, George Whitefield, wrote in a letter, "Two things I would earnestly commend to your constant study, the Book of God and your own heart. These two, well understood, will make you an able minister of the New Testament." Joseph Story in 1833 said, "Republics are created by the virtue, public spirit, and intelligence of the citizens. They fall when the wise are banished from the public councils because they dare to be honest, and the profligate are rewarded because they flatter the people in order to betray them. The people who don't want division in the nation are being targeted by establishment outlets who gain power through division. If by the liberty of the press were understood merely the liberty of discussing the propriety of public measures and political opinions, let us have as much of it as you please. But if it means the liberty of affronting, calumniating, and defaming one another, I, for my own part, own myself willing to part with my share of it, whenever our legislators shall please so to alter the law and shall cheerfully consent to exchange my liberty of abusing others for the privilege of not being abused myself." Benjamin Franklin, 1789. Prove yourself to be an evangelist, not a tyrannical legislator. Men want to be led, not driven. Now you might be thinking to yourself, "Self, this looks like an advertorial." Books serve to show a man that though those original thoughts of his aren't very new at all. Let me read that again. Books serve to show a man that those original thoughts of his aren't very new at all. Abraham Lincoln. Thanksgiving dinners take 18 hours to prepare. They're consumed in 12 minutes. Half times take 12 minutes. This is not coincidence. Irma Bombeck. Gratitude is the inward feeling of kindness received. Thankfulness is the natural impulse to express that feeling. Thanksgiving is following of that impulse. Henry Van Dyke. An optimist is a person who starts a new diet on Thanksgiving Day. Irv Kupersinet. I do recommend an assigned Thursday next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, George Washington, 1789. If you think Independence Day is America's defining holiday, think again. Thanksgiving deserves that title, hands down. Our country is in danger, but not to be despaired. Our enemies are numerous and powerful, but we have many friends determining to be free, and heaven and earth will aid the resolution. On you depend the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important question on which rests the happiness and liberties of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourselves. Joseph Warren, 1775. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Most Americans celebrate Thanksgiving, a time to remember American heritage and a God in whom we should be thankful, yet many covet things. Here is the definition of covet. The definition of covet at dictionary.com is covet, verb, used with object, to desire wrongfully, inordinately, or without due regard for the rights of others, to covet another's property. If by the liberty of the press were understood merely the liberty of discussing propriety of public measures and political opinions, let us have as much of it as you please. Oh, I read that already. Okay. Well, good. Now, I want to give a little explanation as we are at the first Sunday of Advent, what that means. Of course, there are four Sundays in Advent leading up to the 24th of December, which would be Christmas Eve. And Advent means, in Latin, means coming. So when you think Advent, it's a Latin word for meaning coming. And of course, what coming are we talking about? The coming of Jesus, that the faithful are awaiting his coming. Of course, we are awaiting his second coming. Now, the four virtues, and interestingly enough, of course, I always give a little bit of a talk, even though we're not an ecclesiastical church and don't necessarily support the ecclesiastical church. I think it is very important for us to understand some of the aspects of the ecclesiastical church. Like, for example, at this time of year, and also at Easter time, that you will see the robes in ecclesiastical church, the vestments will be purple. And part of the reason for that is because purple describes passion and so forth, but also because purple is the color of royalty, because only royal people could afford it, because in ancient times, the dye, the purple dye, was very expensive to come by, so only wealthy people had it. And also during Advent season, there are four virtues that are particularly looked at: hope, love, joy, and peace. And so think about that this Advent season. You know, whether somebody is actually celebrating Christmas, which, as I've often said, I don't celebrate Christmas, I celebrate the birth of Christ. But the idea of how will we celebrate and what is it that we would like to get across in this season. The worst thing I can think of course, with Black Friday, and you think, why is it called Black Friday? Because some stores and companies actually don't go into the black until the sales they have just after Thanksgiving. And so, in other words, the company's running in the black until just before Christmas, or just between Thanksgiving and Christmas, then suddenly. But of course, the fact that people go and fight with each other, they go on Black Friday shopping at Walmart and beat each other up and try to, you know, because there's a limited supply of the things that are there and people want, and they struggle and fight over it. I can't say that's necessarily new, because I remember when I was a boy, my mother and my grandmother used to go to Filene's basement on Black Friday, so it's nothing new, really. So it was a long time ago, and they told me stories about they'd come back and not have anything, and I'd say, well, why did you not get anything there? And they said, because there was so much fighting going on. And my mother described a situation where two women wanted the same dress, and they actually fought over it and ripped it in half while they were fighting on it, so neither of them got a dress. Now, that is something to do with the attitude people have, and that's why I wanted to bring up in my quips and quotes about covet and what covet means. You get tons of catalogs in the mail trying to get you to covet things. And you see other people getting them or getting more gifts or whatever, and you covet those things. And people go to the store and they run up bills and debt that they can't pay. You know, and then the bill comes in February and they're knocking their heads together. What, how are we going to pay this? Because they felt like they needed to buy all this stuff to give this stuff to people. When in fact, think about the things that really, that the Lord wants us to give, and it's the four virtues here. Not to say that there's only four virtues, I'm just saying at Christmas time, hope, love, joy, and peace. Okay, I want you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles, your copy of such, to the 13th chapter of Romans, which might be an interesting topic, we'll say, for today in particular, the beginning of Advent. Why would we choose that, Romans chapter 13? I'll explain that to you shortly, and it's a very short chapter. It's actually only 14 verses. So we will start with Sean on my right, and each person will read four verses, and I'll read the final verses.
I'm reading from the New Standard Version.
Excuse me, 4 times 3 is 12.
Read 3 verses.
Yeah, each read 3.
I'm reading from the New Standard Version, Romans chapter 13, verses 1-3. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have been no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. I just read from the New Standard Version, Romans chapter 13, verses 1-3.
Continuing, Romans 13, chapters 4-6. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. That was Romans 13 from the ESV, verses 4-6.
And continuing on in Romans 13, verses 7-9 from the English Standard Version. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans chapter 13, verses 7 through 9 from the English Standard Version.
And I'm reading from chapter 13 of Romans in the English Standard Version also, beginning at verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Praise God for the reading of the word. I've just read Romans chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. So one of our goals should be some pretty humble tasks, if you will. This is obviously, I mean, if you look at what it's mostly the chapter is called submission to the authorities. And of course, we can debate this at length of what that actually means, submission to the authorities, what authorities. And there are people, and of course I said my quips and quotes, that people want to be led, they don't want to be tyrannized. They don't want to have the evangelism of tyranny. And the important thing here, of course, in looking at that, we're all going to have to look at this chapter of Scripture, and we're going to have to interpret it in the way that we interpret it. And of course, we're responsible for that, but there are a number of key factors here. The idea of being submission to authority, and I've learned how to do that. I'm fairly adept at it, we'll say. Maybe not as adept at it as some people who claim to have authority over my life would want me to be. Because as far as when somebody wants to be a tyrant, as far as they're concerned, they want to enslave everybody. And of course, we talk about slavery and what we were talking about, for example, I saw an article this week, a man and woman who had been arrested and had to show up at court. And I don't know what they were arrested for and what they were going to court for, but they went into Walmart and were caught shoplifting because they were going to, and they asked them, why are you shoplifting? Well, because we need to steal some clothes so for our court appearance. And I thought, that is so ridiculous. You steal clothes for your court appearance. If you went to any Salvation Army, or you went to any Goodwill store and said, I need help, or you went to any church for that matter and said, I need help, I've got to go to court, I want to be dressed properly when I go to court. And by the way, dressed properly for court doesn't necessarily mean you're wearing the fanciest of clothes or anything else. You're not going to put it over on the judge because you're dressed well, but it helps, you know, if you clean up and everything else. But this just showed the mentality of a lot of people, the idea that stealing is no problem for them, even going to go to court in stolen clothes, even if they'd gotten away with that. But the Lord knows, and a lot of people are trying to put it over on the Lord, and you might put it over on the earthly judge, but you won't put it over on the Lord, for sure. And of course, as Blaise Pascal said, and I read that in our quips and quotes, the Christian religion obliges us to live only for God and to have no other aim than Him. So in this Advent season, thinking about some of the things in this chapter of Scripture, one of the things is that incurring judgment, we've talked about that a little bit, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. Now, you'd say, okay, look at the American government right now, for the most part. And they're actually trying to hurt the people that are talking truth, that are speaking truth. I watched a video of my friend yesterday, a very cold and windy day in Ohio, and they were out in front of the abortion mill. And the abortion mill actually had, now they have people dressed in orange vests saying clinic escorts, right, to make it look all legitimate. And the people who were standing in front of there, they obviously had been trained. Here's these pro-lifers talking to them, and they won't look at them and talk to them. And one was a young woman. She was actually kind of pretty, even though her hair was purple. Not to say you can't be pretty with purple hair, folks, but that's not my idea of pretty anyway. And she's actually a pretty nice-looking girl. She sat there totally emotionless, or stood there, I should say. And then right in the face of one of the pro-lifers, she lit up a cigarette, was puffing that smoke. This abortion mill has, in the course of a year, thousands of innocent lives are taken. So here we have a situation saying, okay, what authority do we believe? Which one do we go along with? Many of the people that are out telling the truth, like my friends there, they get into trouble with the law. Well, they shouldn't be, because they're telling the truth and they weren't creating a conflict and they were on the sidewalk where it was proper to be on the sidewalk. But there are people out there that use the authority that God... Authority is of God. Government is of God. But it can be manipulated and used by sinful people that don't care anything about hope, love, joy, and peace. Now, for us, and I want to use this as an overwhelming... that's probably a good word, overwhelming, overreaching, covering for us today, putting on the armor of God, the armor of God. Now, we can just put on regular clothes, and people can put on body armor, soldiers put on body armor, and some police put on body armor, Kevlar and steel plate and so forth and so on to protect them. That might protect them from bullets, but it doesn't protect them from the wily devil and the slings and arrows of outrageous behavior of the devil and his minions and his fallen angels. Only the armor of light. Now, some of you might say, well, what is the armor of light? Well, I can tell you, like we've been saying here about the Advent season, the armor of light is hope, love, joy, and peace. And, of course, the idea that those rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. And I've seen this happen many times where it was not looking very good for somebody who was doing right. And they were put upon by the enemy, and the enemy was trying to knock them around. The enemy was trying to drag them through court and put fines on them and everything. They stood their ground for what is right and did not go into the hands of the enemy by acting like the devil, but acting more like Jesus, behaving more like Jesus, with the virtues of Jesus. And because of that, eventually they were exonerated and their message was heard. It's pretty hard. I mean, I watched this week, and I thought it was very good, Lisa Hone, who is actually a studied psychologist, PhD from New Zealand. And she was trained to help soldiers coming back from Afghanistan. And she herself had all these degrees and learning how to help people that have crisis in their life. And she said she really thought she was good at it. And then she went back to New Zealand, and something happened just more or less in a blink of an eye. It was totally unexpected. Her 12-year-old daughter decided she wanted to go to the beach with her 12-year-old friend and this Lisa Holmes' good friend, who is the other girl's mother. So they got in the car, and they were heading towards the beach in New Zealand, and somebody ran a stop sign and instantly killed all three of them. So here's this woman who's trained in crisis intervention. Suddenly now, she has a crisis of her own. And I watched her speak, and what the things that she was talking about was very important to recognize that everyone, I don't care who you are, rich, poor, middle class, Republican, Democrat, liberal, progressive, communist, whatever, everyone on the face of this earth at one time or another faces disaster, faces unexpected things, just in the way we all would love to have an unexpected blessing. I think a lot of times the mail's here. Who knows? There might be an unexpected check in the mail that'll help me support this ministry or help with the support of this ministry. You know, that'd be an unexpected blessing, and it happens. But not many of us are looking for unexpected disaster. But it's going to happen. Everyone has that happen in their lives. And what do you do at a time like that? She said she was a basket case. Here she was a trained professional, and she was a basket case. But then she had to wake up to the reality that she had two remaining children, two sons, and they needed her. And it was interesting, too, because she said at the time, she started to receive leaflets in the mail from people saying, okay, whenever there's a disaster like this, usually your marriage is going to break up, and you're going to have severe health problems and all this kind of stuff. And she said, gee, thanks. I really needed that. That really helped me to find that out. Instead of somebody saying, you know what, we need to go to Jesus. So putting on the armor of light, folks, is also when you're helping somebody through the difficult situations of life, that you speak as the authority that is mentioned here in Scripture. The authority that does right and rewards those who do right. And the Lord always rewards those who do right. You can be sure of it. And He also rewards those who do wrong. And of course, I remember many years ago when some folks that constantly were in debt, and they came to me and said, do you think that it means, where it says in the Scripture there, owe nobody anything? Do you think that that means about money? And I said, well, I think it means more than that, because you don't want to take, in verse 8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. But the thing is, when you owe somebody something, that's not very loving, particularly if you owe something to somebody and they're waiting for you to pay. And I always tell people, you know, the way some people are, their integrity is very limited. So don't spend the money they owe you before you actually get it. A lot of people said, well, I'm owed such and such from this company, or I'm owed such and such from this refund or whatever, and you don't end up getting it because they use a technicality and cut you out. But you've already spent that. So, I mean, it could mean something to do with money, because the fact is, owe nobody anything but to love them. And of course, loving somebody is, you don't want to put more burden on them than they already have. People who really love you want to help you with your burdens. They don't want to add more burden on you. I know that's a very simple thing to say, but it's part of the armor of light that we wear. The armor of light that we put on and should be putting on every day. And of course, in spiritual warfare, in Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the armor, full armor of God. But the armor of light, think about this. If you're wearing armor, and by the way, in medieval times, when the knights of old that we talked about wore so much armor, do you know that if they were knocked off their horse, they couldn't get back up on the horse without help. They had a little crane that picked them up. And so it wasn't very light armor. And even the ones who were wearing chainmail armor, it was so heavy to put on, so heavy to wear, that it made it very difficult for them to walk, very difficult for them to move. Of course, they had special horses they were riding that looked like, more like draft horses than thoroughbreds, because that would be a horse that could handle that weight on their back. And so the armor of light is not heavy armor. The armor of light is very light armor, and that's both light meaning light, like a light bulb, light, but light meaning not heavy. So it's not too heavy for us to put this on. This is not too heavy for us to do. Some people say, in this wicked world, that's way too heavy. And by the way, you go to a Christmas party, and is it really a Christmas party? Especially, let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. I put on my Facebook post this week a little write-up about how to have a pleasant Thanksgiving without getting into a fight, as many people have said they don't like to get together with their family, maybe just with their friends, ones that are like-minded, because it usually ends up into an argument, and many times ends up in a fight, and particularly as people are drinking. And then, of course, a lot of these parties, there's infidelity going on, and sexuality and sensuality and so forth and so on. That's no place for a Christian to be. And I'm not being judgmental or legalistic to tell you that. It's just no place for you to be. Because in an environment like that, the temptation for you to join into the party, and I say you, and I'm talking about myself or anyone else, you might go there, and if you were convinced the Lord wanted you to go there and be an armor of light, or wearing your armor of light, then you would go. But for the most part, that's not the place we're talking about, and in the way that we're talking about here in Scripture. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, when you're casting off the works of darkness, I guess it begs the question, what are the works of darkness? Well, some of those are mentioned here, but there are certainly a lot of other things, and I'll leave it to your own leading of the Holy Spirit in your life to determine what the works of armor, works of darkness are that we have to put off, because you can't be putting the armor of light over the works of darkness. Think about that. You can't put the armor of light over the works of darkness. That's like saying, okay, I'm going to put on a suit, but underneath my suit I'm going to have my jeans and I'm going to have my hoodie and I'm going to have all that. No, you have to take all that off before you put your suit on. Suit up. So, Christian saint, suit up. And in this Advent season, one of the things a lot of people practice during Advent, and I'm not necessarily saying it's you need to do it, and maybe being led of the Lord to do it, a lot of people fast, and they want to be clean and ready for the coming of the Lord. Many of the liturgical churches and the Orthodox churches do that. They declare fast times during Advent or during Easter and so forth, because they want to be clear-minded, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we've just had the Thanksgiving feast. Many people probably go into Advent and decide, after as much as I ate on one day of Thanksgiving, maybe I need a clean out, something like that. So give this the consideration that it needs. I also want to mention that in verse number 8, oh, verse number 6, I guess it is. Yeah, 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes. The authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to honor whom honor is owed. And so you'd have to ask yourself, okay, who is worthy of respect? People that are respectable are deserving respect. People that are honorable deserve honor. And of course, the idea is the Lord wants us to bless when we can bless. Sometimes we can't bless because the people are not honorable, they're not respectful, they're dishonorable, and you can't put something on them when they won't take off the works of darkness. As far as paying taxes, most people don't like to see that, but of course we know that there's a rightful taxation, as our Constitution in the United States points out. And of course, we know that it takes money to support things. It's just that some things are supported beyond what they should be supported. We don't need to pay taxes so money can be sent to a foreign country to subsidize the Saudi Arabians, who have more money than the sand in the sea or on the beach, to subsidize them in some of the things they're doing, or subsidizing Planned Parenthood and whatever else. That's not what the Lord has in mind. So anything we can starve out from that would be good. But I'm kind of rambling on here, and you have to make those decisions yourselves. But just remember that he does not bear the sword in vain. But if you do no wrong, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. And that, of course, ultimately talks about the Lord himself. Put on the armor of light. And walk properly as in the daytime. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Praise God. Let's pray. We know that this is a special time of year, Lord. Many people don't want any mention. Many of the towns that have had Christmas tree lightings, people have protested that and say, we're going to have a holiday tree. But then the question is, what holiday do you think we're going to celebrate with that holiday tree? And people don't want to have any holiday tree at all. No lights, nothing colorful. No recognition of the season. Instead of having a winter carnival or Christmas carnival or Christmas festival, they call it a winter carnival. Many towns are doing this. And Lord, we just pray for the companies out there. There are some companies that have set aside areas in their stores that we can find them and support them, that aren't afraid of saying Merry Christmas. And we'll help them to that. And just help us. Hope, love, joy, and peace. To exercise those four virtues. In your name, King Jesus, amen.